Hello and welcome. It's This Is Going Well, I Think, with David Cooper. And I am David Cooper. It's This Is Going Well, I Think, the show where no one's listening, the show where no one cares, the show where every episode's the last episode. You know him, you love him. He's here, he's queer. And by queer, I mean extremely strange. He's Tony Five from London, England. And he joins us to do some foreign corresponding. I'm looking forward to catching up with him now that I've returned from a brief trip to Florida with my girlfriend and my parents. And I think Tony's recently come back from a trip as well, and he says he's got important questions to ask me. What they are and how important they are, that we will find out with Tony Five.
I'm living the fucking dream. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Play the fucking theme song for once in your life.
Oh my God. All right, give me a second.
Jesus Christ. I had some questions to ask you anyway. How are you, baby?
And now. Live from London, England. It's foreign correspondent Tony Five. Hello.
Finally. How are you, young David? I've been pondering.
Pondering?
Pondering. How would you survive in prison?
Not well.
I see you not like a violent crime, ascension, you know, murder. More like a white-collar crime, you know, stealing a bagel or some shit like that. Like, how would you survive in, like state penitentiary?
This is a great question, because prison is not a good place for Jews. First of all, we're a weak, sickly people. We have body ailments, IBS, asthma. We're not, like, how many Jews are in the NFL? How many Jews are professional soccer players? How many Jews? None.
I've never really followed that sports anti-Semitism, but, I mean, yeah, okay.
We're just not a well-built, you know, person.
You may just not like sports. Do you know what, actually? Who's the most famous Jewish sportsman?
I have no idea.
I think Sammy Davis Jr. done the 100 meters once.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't think Sammy Davis was born a Jew.
He converted, didn't he? Is it like Mormonism? Did he get converted by like a Mormon?
No, it's like a whole process. My friend actually converted, my friend Hannah.
Is he black?
No, she's half Chinese and half Italian.
Fuck off!
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great meal in itself, isn't it?
It is. And in fact, at the wedding, the...
Wait. Rewind, selector. Half Chinese, half Italian, and now she's Jewish.
Yeah, and she married an Orthodox rabbi. Okay, like a cool Orthodox rabbi, but still an Orthodox...
Like those ones that dance. Do you know that video that I see where they DJ and they dance?
Yeah, they all... The Jews dance. We all dance. We do the dance, yeah.
I love that. I think that's one of my favorite videos.
But this Orthodox rabbi's brother is a famous comedian, a guy by the name of Moshe Kasher. And at the wedding, he said, asking a Chinese woman to give up pork and shrimp, because she converted, she can't eat pork and shrimp.
Of course, yeah.
Said asking a Chinese woman to give up pork and shrimp is like asking a Jew to give up compounding interest, which I thought was one of the funniest jokes I've ever heard.
That's very good. Very, very good.
The teller of the joke was Jewish, so the anti-Semitism is well received.
So Jews are not allowed to eat shrimp?
I mean... Technically.
What have you got against shrimp?
It's all shellfish.
What have they done?
Nothing. It's like something to do with the hooves for pigs, and for shrimp, it's all shellfish. You can't eat any shellfish.
I've heard the hooves for pigs, and that goes back to like Old Testament stuff. Thou shalt not eat anything with a hoof.
Yeah, something like that. Same with shellfish. Crustaceans, shellfish.
But what's it got to do with a prawn? Poor old crab. I mean, what about crab?
Same, all of it. I mean, I obviously don't believe in, I'm a-religious. I'm just a Jew. So there's like culturally Jewish and religiously Jewish. And it's weird because you can convert into the religion.
Yeah.
But you obviously can't convert into the culture.
Oh, you see, I would take that lane. I would join that lane. If I could turn into a culturally Jew, I love all the things that you say and the, oy vey, I just can't get away with it. I don't want to have my dick cut, but I want to be able to go to like a bagel bakery and feel one of them.
Well, if you convert religiously, you get for free the cultural stuff as long as you don't do it too much.
No, it's like a Groupon, David. Like, I feel that to convert religiously, you have to go through the whole process, and the cultural benefit is like a byproduct, whereas I just want to dive straight to the byproduct. I don't want any of that bullshit.
Exactly. You get a bit of the byproduct. If you lay in too thick around Jews and you make too many Jew jokes, if you converted, people will think you're weird.
Yes, there's a line, right? There's a line. And they'll be like, yeah, exactly.
I mean, Seinfeld covered this with Bryan Cranston, the dentist in Seinfeld. He converted for the jokes, and then he says these, like, you know... He's like, I'm going to the gym. And Jerry's like, oh, you're working out? He's like, well, it's more like a Jewish workout. I'm just going for the sauna. And Jerry's like, what? Like, you can't convert and make these jokes.
Brilliant.
But back to the thing. So you can get the cultural if you convert to the religious, but you can't just do, that's like me converting to black. I can't do it. It would be very hard.
So it's like getting basically the chicken, the watermelon, without the crime. Is that right? Are we right? But then black's not a religion. So it's not like...
No.
You can't be culturally black and religiously black.
If you convert to Nation of Islam, then I think you could go around calling everyone brother.
Or a Freemason, because they all call each other brothers as well.
It's true. I just mean if I went to like Oakland, you know, or Harlem, and I went around calling everyone brother, they'd be like, what? You know, they'd be like, that's strange.
Oh, but I think it's diluted now. I've seen white guys go, yeah, okay, brother.
I say it a lot too.
But they say it in more of a religion. And you say it. You've said it to me a number of times. And I've never wanted to call the NAACP ice hockey team. So we've been okay. So about prison.
Yeah.
I think you would be like in the gangs that would get abused in the shower.
The problem is Jews get lumped with white people because most of us are white.
Correct. Yes.
But the white people in prison are all white supremacists.
Correct. So that you've got nowhere to turn.
There's nowhere for me to go.
So what would you do then? Like, how would you cope?
I don't know. I would have to ask to be in the hole. Otherwise, I'd get fucked. I always wonder, because all these, like, Bernie Madoff, like, all these white-collar criminals in New York, I don't mean to be anti-Semitic, but a lot of them are Jews, and when they get busted and thrown in federal prison, I'm like, who are you hanging out with, dude? Like, how are you surviving?
Would you go to the African-American and say, look, guys, can we just hang out? When you come out, I'll do your taxes.
They wouldn't let me do that, would they?
Oh, man. I think if you promised them a good life on the outside, maybe. I don't think you've got anything to offer the white supremacists, to be honest, apart from your asshole.
So, like, maybe Miranda will send me, like, $10 a week so I can buy potato chips or whatever, and I just give that money to a gang?
Yeah, I mean, the Latino's not a fucking chance. But, I mean, you've got the tattoos, and you could probably talk about... And you've got bicycles in common, bikes. So, Latinos, you've got the bikes, tattoos.
But I have, like, little bitch tattoos. Like, I don't have cool tattoos. I have, like, cutesy, artistic... I don't have, like, you know, skull and crossbone tattoos.
But you don't mind tattoos, so you could do that. I think the brothers, they would never accept you.
I might volunteer at the school, right? Because I have higher education. I can teach them computer skills. Like, I can teach them skills to maybe get a job.
Library.
I've often thought you know, my friend used to volunteer at San Quentin Prison, which is the big...
Oh, that's the bad boy one.
Well, it's a huge one. They've got minimum security all the way up to maximum security and death row.
Yeah, supermax, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously they only let the best prisoners who really want to better themselves take computer classes. But my friend, who was a computer nerd like me in San Francisco, he would volunteer teaching computers at...
Wow.
The prison. And he's like offering me to get into it. And I got a pamphlet. I had a phone call with the coordinator. I ended up bitching out and not getting it.
Would you worry that you were going to get shanked?
I guess. Yeah. I just ended up being too much of a wimp and not volunteering. But even just thinking about it made me feel like a better person. So maybe I could do something like that if I was in prison. I could like fast track my way into the school. I'd get better treatment. The prisoners who I was trying to help learn and like get a a high school diploma or whatever, or computer classes, maybe they would protect me. I think that's my only chance.
I'm so thinking about those Make-A-Wish kids who are dying in 3-4 weeks with terminal cancer. And the fact that you think about it makes you feel better. Fucking amazing. Well done. You're so altruistic, David. It's amazing.
I really did want to do it. I think I was just too scared. I don't know. And my friend's like, dude, the prisoners who they let take these courses are not the... Like, they don't want to hurt you. They don't want to be kicked. Like, they're there because they want to be there. And they know that if they, like, even have an outburst in class, even a nonviolent outburst, but an outburst nonetheless, they're not going to be able to take the class, and they want to take the class. It's like the least scary students in the world, but I couldn't do it. I don't know. I feel bad.
Yeah. I think you'd be one like walking around the yard, like kicking stones. But I have a feeling sometimes that you'd be like the mysterious prisoner. You wouldn't tell somebody what you did, and they might think that you were a serial killer or something. And you just be quiet. I think you could get away with that because you've got quite an odd look.
Thank you, Tony.
It's all right. So I think maybe you'd get away with that. Otherwise, I mean, yeah, your arsehole would be pasted. Absolutely.
You do all kinds of volunteering. I feel like I don't give back enough. Well, how do I get into this?
I don't know. I tell you, it's weird, right? So today I've got a dog that I'm fostering who's walking around now. I read for the blind this morning and I'm obviously working at the same time. It sounds really corny, but giving to someone, and especially when you don't know, so there's no thanks for it. We do get feedback once in a while. For example, the people that we read for, they sometimes send a message to the group saying, oh my God, it's great. You know, I'm blind and I don't really get out, and to hear local news, it's lovely. And it kind of does make you feel, I don't know, I feel it balances life a little bit. I feel like I take a lot from life and I'm very lucky to have the things I have and to do the things I do. And it's nice to give, but I can see why people get into it. I never used to, and I used to kind of, you charity bug, and you're kind of, you know, looking for something.
No, I'm jealous that you got the courage to do it, to just make the time to do it and not just always procrastinate, and you know what I mean?
It took me ages though, dude, man. I would register for this, and then I became sort of like overkill. I want to do everything. I want to save the planet and, you know, give myself up for AIDS research and, do you know what I mean? Like everything, anything and everything.
You want to infect yourself with Ebola to help the scientists research it? Yeah.
Absolutely. Just to survive. Racist, but nice. And I thought, yeah, I'll do all of that.
Why is that racist? Because Ebola happens in Africa?
Correct. Yeah, it happens in Harlem.
Oh, come off it.
Where else have you heard of Ebola?
Of all the racist things I've said.
Ah, right. Have you heard of Ebola in White Springs, Ohio? Not a chance. It's fucking not there. Have you heard of it in Colorado? Is there been an Ebola outbreak in Colorado?
Maybe. You never know.
Toronto?
Yeah, there's lots of Ebola in Toronto.
Bullshit. I call bullshit.
Fine. It was a little racial, but I've said way worse.
Yeah, you have. That's fine. So that was my pondering this week as I was about to call you. I think, how would David...
That was the questions? You're like, I got questions for you. It's just, how would I fare in prison? That was your question?
I was just thinking, like, how would you do in prison? I feel you'd be, like, in the prison infirmary a lot.
Probably.
Just hay fever, you stubbed a toe. Just basically, for the worst things in the world, you'd just be in this infirmary and the nurse would be sick of you. And
how do they know the prisoners aren't crying wolf? Like, if I'm like, oh, I'm having chest pain, I'm having a heart attack, they're like, yeah, sure you are, get back in your cell. How do they know?
I don't know, but surely you'd be having chest pain and having panic attacks in the hole, but they still leave you there, right? Like, what if you have a panic attack in solitary confinement?
Do they care?
That's what I mean. I don't know whether they care.
I mean, worst comes to worst, you just die in prison. What do they care?
Well, I suppose you can't die of panic attacks. I mean, can you die of panic attacks? I suppose of hyperventilating, you could, couldn't you?
I suppose it could cause like a heart attack or a stroke or, yeah.
Yeah, but you won't die of anxiety or depression, as it were, directly, unless you took your own life.
No, it's the secondary, or as you say, secondary effects, you know?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Prison's a weird thing. It's something that most people don't think about, but having your freedom taken away from you, incarceration, I think is quite surreal. And speaking of being fucked up, you said to me that Donald Trump wouldn't be president, and it looks very likely that he might be president again.
Well, what time did I say he wasn't going to be president? I said it could go either way.
We spoke a couple of months ago and you said no, no chance. You did say that.
I'm hoping he doesn't, but you never fucking know. I will say, I was just in Florida, and I wasn't in Miami. I was in, like, deep South Florida.
Okay.
I mean, where my parents have a place that's, like, a little nice, like, you know, condominium, whatever, a bunch of old white retirees. But the area itself is, like, Trump country, and I didn't see one single Trump or fuck Biden bumper sticker or flag or anything outside people's houses, on people's pickup trucks. I saw nothing, which actually gives me hope that in middle America, Trump is losing support. I don't know.
Okay, so if you had to choose, would it? I mean, I know you're not a Trump fan, but do you think Biden's fit? Because he seems like to forget a lot of things. I think he doesn't know he's a president most of the time.
I don't think he knows he's president either. It's a terrible choice. But yes, I would pick him because I'm confident in the people he would have around him not being complete and other sociopaths.
Yeah, but if, and now what do you think would happen if Trump gets back? What do you think the first things that's going to, let's say he does get voted in.
I don't even know. I mean, I think it'll be really bad, but maybe not in ways we anticipate. I think he'll surprise us. It'll be bad, but all the things we're worried about maybe won't be so bad, and other new things to worry about will come. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I sometimes think, is he really the bad guy, or are we kind of seeing somebody that just opens himself up like a raw wound and everybody else is equally as bad, but yet we don't see that side of them? They're just very good actors.
Well, I think all humans have within us the good and the bad, the capacity for ugly deeds and the capacity for good deeds. I think that's what makes us human. We all have that inside of us in any given time. And if someone really sets us up for failure, for example, you could have a husband and a wife who love each other, who are committed, who are, and then the wrong person comes along and they can entice one of these married people, the man or the woman, into an affair, even though they otherwise have a wonderful marriage. I think it's like that. Like, I don't think every Nazi was a shitty person, but I think the environment in Nazi Germany brought the worst out of them, you know? And so I think that's what we're seeing.
Hitler and Jeffrey Epstein were really good at racquetball, apparently.
They were. We never hear about Hitler as a racquetball player.
This is what I mean. And he used to play the other one. There's a new game that they play. Foosball, is it? I don't know.
Pickleball?
Pickleball! I think Epstein was quite good at pickleball as well. He used to invite people over and play and then...
hide the pickle, yeah, as well.
Yeah, and then the whole sexual thing got on. But if he'd have just stuck to the pickleball, that man would be alive and kicking right now.
Jeff...
So, tell me about Florida and your parents.
Oh my God, they were fighting... a lot in front of Miranda. It was hilarious. They got in these bitter, because they're renovating a condo right now in Florida. So like my grandparents had a place and now it's empty. So they're renovating it because my grandparents are dead.
I was going to say it's difficult for them to do it whilst they're dead, but carry on.
And the fighting because of renovation. I mean, renovations always take longer and cost more money than you think.
They have contractors though, right?
Yeah, there's a contractor, you know, and they're just doing the... The place is mostly done. I think the drywall's up and everything. I think it's just a matter of like the millwork and like the kitchen and the bathrooms. Like I think it's just the final touches. It's not like, I think the electrical and the plumbing's all in. Like I think it's mostly done, but it's taken an extra few months. And my mom is like, she's basically, I think it's a fight about death. I don't think it's a fight about the renovation because my mom's in her 70s, my dad's 75, and she's like, I have one less year to enjoy this place and I only have so many years. Like, we should have just sold it and bought a finished place.
Okay, give me an idea of the arguments. How does it start and who wins?
My dad's like, oh, the kitchen guy's in today to put in the, I don't know, floor. And my mom's like, he should have been in yesterday.
Okay.
My mom at one point was going over it with Miranda, my girlfriend, and my dad wasn't listening. And my mom's like, if it's not done by next year, I'm divorcing him. And I don't think my mom was kidding.
No way.
It was very funny.
Wow. And what is Miranda quite sort of diplomatic when these things happen?
She used to just sit in silence because my mom takes up so much space. But now that she's like, I don't know, Miranda makes more money than, obviously making no money now, but she's like, makes more money than me. She's like in her 30s. She's like very comfortable and confident in who she is in a way that she wasn't when she was younger. And so she just like, I don't know, hands it to, she just can handle my parents.
Right, okay, because she's got that inner confidence now, that self-confidence. To, yeah, and she's not trying to impress them or anything, right?
No, not anymore, no. And my mom's allergic to some shellfish, and that includes Florida stone crabs. And you probably don't know what those are because they're popular in Florida, and quite frankly, they don't freeze very well. So if you ever see them on a menu in England, that means they were frozen from Florida and sent over, and they're gross when they're thawed. So it's like this little shell. It's like a hard crab. You really have to crack it with a cracker. It's not a soft shell. But they're delicious, but they're also very expensive. And to buy the large claws, it's like, I don't know, $30 a pound. And to buy the medium claws is like $18 a pound. My dad wanted to, you know, sprawl. Or not. Is that the word, sprawl? No.
Have a little spending spree or...
No. Yeah, he wanted to spring on them. So, because it was just me and Miranda eating them because my mom can't eat them. So he buys, I don't know, 3-4 pounds of the large claws. So he cracks them.
Cooked already?
Yeah, they cook them. You buy them from the fish market cooked.
Okay, and they're already cooked?
Yeah, they're already cooked. So you just have to crack them and serve them. That's it.
Okay.
So my dad cracks him. He puts him in a dish. We have a baked potato, a salad. You know, it's a full dinner. We're sitting at the dinner table in this apartment. And my mom starts poking through the claws with her fingers, like looking at them, inspecting each one. And she's like, they gave us a few mediums. They hide the mediums. And my dad's like, don't say that. And if you speak up at the fish market, we're just going to get banned from the fish market.
And she's allergic to them anyway. What the fuck does she care?
Yeah, she's not even eating them. And my dad bought them. She didn't even buy them. And but she's like, that one's, let me see that one. Let me see that one before you eat it. And she's going nuts about the crab claws. And my dad's like, stop it. He's like, I'm not going to tell them that they're ripping us off because then they're going to ban me from the fish market. You know, and they're just, and me and Miranda are just like laughing. And I'm like, why do you even care, mom? You didn't buy them. You're not even eating them. You're allergic. Like, and she's just like, well, I don't like being ripped off.
That would you like if I was there, I genuinely don't know what I would do. I would try and look away. Would I join in with your dad? Would I join in with you? Would I look at the floor? I find third party confrontation very awkward for me.
You're too British, you know. You're too British, yeah.
Yeah, and I realized that, and I was gonna say it's definitely a British thing, and like Americanism, you can kind of laugh in, or you can join, or you can kind of not feel uncomfortable.
Especially Jews, man, we know how to argue.
Yeah, but I don't know what I would do. I don't know whether I'd just, I don't know, pull out a pen and paper and just start writing a note to my mum, or do something completely random because I just wouldn't know what to do.
Well, I look forward to the day that you have dinner with my parents. Are you still planning on going in to Canada in the spring?
It's not going to be spring. It is going to be in probably autumn. I was maybe going to try and combine it with the Thanksgiving, maybe go to one and then fly to another and then fly home. I thought that might be nice to do.
So you're coming to Thanksgiving next year?
Oh, man, if it's going to be a yearly thing.
It's happening, man.
I love it, man. I had that was probably my highlight of last year. Oh. Seeing all your weirdos and eating that food, it was, and then your cat going on fire, seeing your cock at the dinner table. There's so many memorable moments, and I loved it. And then you're going to be in a new place as well, which is going to be even cooler.
I hope. We'll see. Fucking see.
What's going on with your housing? Can you talk about it yet?
Yeah, I mean, not much. We lost that place, and we're looking for new places, and that's it. How you been?
I've been good. It's been busy. It's been rainy here. I went to Portugal for 2 days.
Alone?
I just got a flight. So I got there. So I'll tell you how did I get. So flight there, flight back, car hire and hotel for $120.
How did you do that?
It was odd timings. It was like a real shitty hotel. I mean, there were bloodstains on the floor in my hotel. Genuinely, hand on my heart, there was. It was completely out of season, so nothing was open. And although it was by the beach and the sea, it was a frigid air. Plus, I didn't realise the Portuguese are quite a rude people. But it was nice to be in a different place. It was sunny and it was really cold and wintry here in London.
$120, Portugal, 2 days, a car, shitty hotel. Still a good deal.
Still a good deal, and I ate some Portuguese food. I went to a Portuguese McDonald's, which was nice.
Oh, what'd you have?
Portuguese, I think. It was nice. I met some people, had a wander about, and I like doing those sort of things. I like just getting a cheap flight, and because I live relatively close to an airport in London, and I park there for free. So, yeah. Did you go out then in Florida? How long were you there for?
Just 4 days. It was nice. Yeah, we went to dinners and went to the beach and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, beach was nice.
Yeah, we drove up to Tampa Bay. That's where my girlfriend's sister lives. So we visited her sister. Yeah, you know, it's whatever.
Okay. There's a show I was going to ask you about called Hadestown. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, it's great.
It's just coming into England at the moment. And apparently, the reviews are amazing. What's it about?
I loved it, but I loved the star. So it's a Broadway musical. I think it also was on in the West End. Originally moved to New York. Now I think it's back on in the West End. The female lead and the male lead were like these young kids. The girl has her name's Noblezada, Ava Noblezada. She's like, she's 27. She's from San Diego, actually, like my girlfriend. Amazing, operatic, perfect voice. And the boy lead, who's also about her age, maybe a little older, had this like drippy emo, like, almost kind of like a higher register Arcade Fire vibe. And they just had such a unique voice, and they're not doing the show anymore, so I have no idea how it is. But it's a really cheesy love story. It's the story of Eurydice Eurydice.
Yeah, okay. So it's a Greek tragedy.
It's the Greek tragedy of Eurydice and Orpheus.
Okay.
Okay, so it's like...
That's the guy from The Matrix, isn't it?
No, that's Morpheus.
Okay, carry on.
Close enough. But it's so it's just like a cheesy love story. Like but it's set in modern day, kind of. Like, they meet in a train station. And the music's really good. It's all folk, R&B, soul, and blues. It's really good music, and it's not kind of stereotypical Broadway music.
Okay. Because I seem to remember you going to see it. I just wanted to ask you. You're kind of my cultural advisor.
I loved it, and I would recommend it. It's a lot of fun, but you got to like the music. Like, to me, the music was amazing, because there's not much plot. It's kind of low on plot.
A very cheesy plot, but the music is really good, yeah?
A lot of singing about how much they love each other and how heartbroken they are. You know, it's just kind of cheesy, but it's great. And it's a great set, and the other characters are all really good. The guy who plays Hades, like the Lord of the Underworld, or I guess the modern Christian version of the Greek is the devil. He's got this booming, like, low baritone voice, like, almost like Leonard Cohen or something.
Like James Earl Jones, Darth Vader.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Bassy, deep.
Yeah, it's good. Are you going to see it?
I'd like to, because it came on my email the other day, and I thought, let me ask David when I speak to him about whether it's good or not. You're kind of my litmus paper for things like that. I saw the Book of Mormon. My God, that was funny. I did enjoy that completely. I really enjoyed that. I didn't think I would, but I did enjoy that.
Orlando.
I never knew anything about Mormonism, about anything like that. It was so horrifically rude and offensive that I loved it. Oh, that was brilliant.
It's a little dated when they go to, like, Africa and they're all, like, you know, just doing chanting and wearing, like, Africa.
Correct. But it's brilliant. I did love it.
Yeah. I don't know how I'd feel as a black actor in that. I guess I would be a good sport. I wouldn't give a fuck. But it's a little out there, is all.
It is a little out there. Well, I did enjoy it. Do you watch Stranger Things? Have you seen Stranger Things?
I watched the first two episodes, but it wasn't for me.
No. You obviously. Okay. So I watched the Stranger Things performance, the theater show. It's called Stranger Things Hawkins, or something to do with Hawkins. And that was really good. That was phenomenal. Probably one of the best shows I've seen. It's kind of like a prequel to the Stranger Things show. Welcome to Hawkins, it's called. And it was brilliant. Sold out. I loved it. Yeah. So I'm being very cultural at the moment. I haven't been to a gangbang or a swingers party in a long time. So I'm probably going to try and do that.
Maybe you could do, like, a dinner, a show, and a gangbang. Huh? Nice fancy dinner, Hadestown, and the night with a gangbang.
Broadway and Bukkake, I call it.
Broadway and Bukkake.
And on that cerebral note, David.
Are you going to do the George Costanza? You hit one good joke and then you leave?
Just leave. Exactly. Be done now.
Tony, as always, go fuck yourself.
David, as always, Merry Christmas.